Okay, well, discipline dilemmas. Come on in. So, officially, I will start with this. 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:2. So, what is discipline, actually? Joel, you want to shut that door? Maybe I would get some input from some of you what you think discipline is. Let's see. I might have to call on you here.
The shingle.
The shingle, okay. That, unfortunately, is often what people think of first. Maybe you in the green dress there in the back row, what do you think discipline is, or what would you define it? Any good ideas? No, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Anybody? Phoebe, what do you think discipline is?
Training.
Okay. Anybody else? Sarah, what do you think? The purple dress. I can't see your name.
Well, when you discipline yourself, you're just putting yourself to something rigorous, right?
Right.
So, would it have any connection?
It would. I think you're getting to a real key point. But unfortunately, for a lot of us growing up in the circles we do, I think discipline often we think of as we have a shingle in our hand and we are swatting some child's behind. I mean, that is discipline. But it is not. So Trevor and I have fostered and adopted 10 children. And while we were fostering, we could not do any kind of corporal punishment. No, nothing like that. And I had thought that too, kind of, that discipline is actually, I would be punishing them in a way that they could see what I'm doing. Well, as we went along with that, we realized that if we can't do that, we have to think of other ways what discipline actually means. And what I figured out, well, number one, is that the verse I read about love really covers a lot. So if you have genuine, true love for your children and your students, it will take a lot of your problems away. And also, when you are disciplined yourself, it takes away a lot of your problems as a parent and as a teacher. So many times we go way out here and we are working with, well, this child lied or this child cheated or this child sassed back. Well, if you roll it back a little bit, you can usually go back to the person in authority. And so while we want to provide, discipline is a way of life, I guess I want to present to you right now, that it is not a specific thing. It's a way of how we live. So when we provide environments in our homes and schools that have structure and dependability, I have found that, you know, about 90% of our discipline problems went away. And so what I mean by that is, like, maybe getting up at a certain time and going to bed at a certain time. Now, I don't mean to make this sound like we go to bed at 8:05 every night. But I mean, if you have a general way of living or eating your meals or what you eat or when you eat. Now, I'm talking as a parent here. Maybe even putting away your clothes or picking up the trash and so many, many things that we do that make us disciplined, and our children watch us and then they know what to expect. And they aren't maybe arguing about picking up the trash because they know we pick up the trash. Well, if you want to translate that to school now, as a teacher, so I figure some of you are going to be teaching at least, aren't you? We have parents and teachers here. So as a teacher, what would be some disciplines that you would have in place to help you with your discipline as your student. So I was thinking about maybe habitually being late to class. Now, I'm sure none of you are going to do any of this stuff, but just so you think about it, what about always having extra recess, not really watching, like honoring the time? And so it's, you know, every day you have a little bit of extra recess because, well, you know, the children want to, so why not? But that's not really very disciplined. What about texting and receiving calls during school time? You know, that's another discipline problem. Maybe you have to, and it's so tempting. I would suggest leave your phone in your car till school's over myself. You know, I can't just have my own little personal hobby horses up here either, can I? Also, like if you become frustrated with a lesson or you say, well, I just don't like English. Well, that's not discipline, and your children will soon pick that up really fast too. So your students will want to then take that liberty as well. Like, why would they finish a lesson if they think that maybe the next day you're going to skip the whole class? You see how so maybe you would be working with, this child didn't get their lesson done or they skipped some of it and handed it in. Well, you're like, what am I going to do the next day? Make him stand at recess. I'm going to have to punish him some way. Well, if you go back, you probably skipped the recess skipped a lesson or made them feel like they maybe didn't have to do that. So it's kind of important. And I don't want this to sound like it's something perfect. It's not. It's just most of the time, let's say, you're doing this anyway. Okay, and then another thing I really notice is art class. And I'm just going to work this in right now because it's a little bit of a thing I have. So you all know you have art class on Friday. Who all's teaching? You're going to be teaching. And who all has art class on Friday? I mean, pretty well across the board, we know art class is Friday afternoon. Well, sometimes I watch teachers and you think they don't know that it's going to be Art Friday and it's Thursday night and they're all panicked and they're, what am I going to do for art? Well, maybe you have to think of something sooner. And then I see them like dismissing their students maybe for the last hour of Friday and they're running in some crazy circle when I come to pick them up. Or then they have blue rings around their mouth because they've had blue pop and cotton candy. It's not art. But this is just, I think that discipline would be to have a plan in place. Now, sometimes a blue sugary drink is probably fine, and I would look the other way. So, but as a parent, and when I taught school, I find that if I am disciplined in my own life, that a lot of my other problems go away, and I wish I would do that better than I do. But it is a kind of a goal of excellence I am giving you right now, that when you feel like you have a discipline problem, just examine your own life and think about like where the problem could come from, maybe. Okay, so one thing I was going to talk about a little was a case in point. So the first year I taught, we were playing, I'm kind of a competitive person. I like to play games and I like to win really much. Mm-hmm. So the first year I taught, I was kind of young. I was 19 and we were playing soccer and I had the high school boys. I mean, they were like, 5th and 7th grade. Three of them, and it was very competitive, and to the point where I marched three of them in and spanked them. I still can't believe I did that. And when I think back about that, I was the problem. I was being just as out of order as they were, but I was the teacher, so I could do that. And I'm ashamed to say that, but I never spanked another student again. I'm talking, this is a lower grade talk, and I think that might be more appropriate, but for upper grades, I probably wouldn't spank them because I think that it is way too soon something that the teacher maybe could have been doing. And what your outline said was how we get on a parent's turf, and so I think that can be a little touchy, but anyway, just some things to think about. I'm going to open this up for questions and comments pretty soon, so you be prepared because I'm not going to talk for another half hour. So, just another example, maybe a discipline thing for a teacher would be, so you don't really want to go out for recess? How many of you like to play at recess with your children? Oh, good. Well, a bunch of you do. Sometimes as little children, it's not so fun, and then you stay, and well, I always would think, well, I should check, and I didn't always, but I would think that. But when you're not out there on the playground, you miss some problems, too, that would become a dilemma, a discipline dilemma that if you're there, you could avoid. Also, another thing that I think is a discipline problem with teachers is the checking. Nobody wants to do the checking, really, the teachers. Like, they're all just kind of paranoid that they're going to be stuck with a lot of checking. So they make the children do it. Well, then the children will cheat, or they'll do it wrong, or like what I've watched already is, so maybe one child has a little bit of a problem with another child, and they're checking their books, and oh, they'll just big check marks and mark that all wrong, and it's not even wrong. So I think as a teacher, you want to really, really be careful of that. You make a discipline dilemma when you don't do your checking yourself. Now, sometimes, please understand, there's exceptions to every rule. And I would say sometimes it's fine to have a child check their work. Okay, do you have anything, do you have anything to add to that? As what have you learned? Maybe there's some seasoned teachers here. Sue, I think you're here. So do you have any comments to add to that? Or?
I think it's right that oftentimes, I think you're right in that we have to start, this one's got to start with us. Start at home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually if we are, it's not as hard to get everyone else in line. One thing that someone said this morning that struck me and that we should remember, discipline is not an end in itself. It is a goal to build character in our children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so let's say we have to spank someone. But spanking is not the end of it. Like, it's a part of the process,
right,
to get them to the character that you're trying to see in the students and your children.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the goal of discipline, is to build character, you know, and
no, that is actually
our goal, is that we want these children to grow up to actually be disciplined, useful people.
Maybe we get bottomed out on the discipline problem at the moment instead of thinking of it as something long term.
Right.
That we're building we're building men and women,
right,
trying to.
Isn't it also that discipline is a methodology of getting to a peace?
Yes.
Child, yourself, and making it happy. So discipline is a very necessary part of future life of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no discipline, when does it start that you want to be a Christian? If you can just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind,
right,
of bringing you to that place that you would want to.
That's really good, because discipline brings peace and happiness in the classroom, at home, everywhere. It really, really does. Okay, anybody else have something they'd like to add to that?
What you told me many times when I was teaching is,
oh dear.
Say you get as far along in goodness, thank you. That's way far down the discipline line. There's so many little things that happen before that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's little misbehaviors and little things like that. But that's when the children want to be stopped. That's when you want to stop them. When they're doing the little things, the little temper tantrums. And if you don't stop them, well, then someday you're going to have to spank them.
Right. Well, I'm glad I told you that, Erin. Yeah, and so the little disciplines are what really help there. And that's why, yes, I started with like mealtime, bedtime, recess time. You know, they seem so maybe not about discipline, but they're so fundamental. So, okay, but that's now we've established kind of what discipline is, but what do we do then when, okay, so there's 10% of the time where it's going to be a problem or a dilemma or something. Because we are human beings and there's a huge variety of people and children and teachers, and so you're going to run into a time that it's going to be a conflict. Now, most of the time in our Christian day schools, I would say the parents will support the teachers. I mean, I'm just going to generalize and say that. But there are times when they don't. I mean, you've probably, if you've taught before, like this isn't your first year, you probably run into a time when a parent simply was a problem. Well, what are you going to do with that? Fight with them? I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. So, I don't think we should look at that as so abnormal. Maybe like Sue was saying, that it is part of the process maybe. Way too often we look at a conflict or a predicament, we come to something to flee from. Like we don't want to be part of that. We're just going to lock that door and hope that parent leaves. Or we will just hope the child, you know, it just goes away. Well, I don't think that that's going to actually work rigid, because they will come. And so we want to take these dilemmas and make them positive instead of negative. Sometimes problems come up in a school and it can actually change the whole school year and leave feelings that forever are a problem. And I don't think any of us in here would want that or choose that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what to effectively resolve a conflict. We need to understand the cause of the conflict. I think this is key. So when you run into trouble at school, you need to think of what is the conflict actually. Don't just start being upset. Think of, be rational. Think, what is this conflict about? And be honest and forthright about your behavior and your disciplines, and be willing to change too. Always keep that in mind, that you might have to change yourself. Like so many times I look at my children, Mary, and I think she has to change, instead of thinking, oh, I need maybe to change as a parent, as a teacher. I'm maybe doing something that is confusing or is making a problem for the child. And so always keep that in your head. I don't mean that it always is, but you should always keep that in mind. I don't know how many times I have taken, like sat down with a child that it seemingly is really upset about something, and I think I know what it is. Like I'm pretty sure I know why they're upset. Like that, she's mad because I made her do that. Whatever it is. And I sit down and say, okay, tell me what's wrong. And it's not that. It's not even, it might have a tiny bit to do with it, but it's something so different. And it completely changes my heart and my way of thinking. So take time to understand the conflict. Like ask the child if you can. Make sure you understand what's wrong and what actually happened on the playground or at home or whatever it is. And the next thing is to really remember is when you're involved in a conflict that both parties feel heard and needed and important. So if I'm just lecturing a child or talking to a parent like Mars here, and I do not let her tell me her side, and she doesn't feel heard or that she's even really needed, or that she's important, she's not going to be able to come up with a very good resolution, and I'm not either. So you have to make sure that you are giving other people, validating them that I'm hearing what you're saying and that you're hearing what I'm saying. Okay, and then I have this paper here that I actually got a bunch of, Mary, you want to pass those out? I don't think I have quite enough, but you can give them around a little bit. I got some of this from Conflict Resolution Strategies by Kathleen Walsh, and it's just maybe some tips on how to, when you get yourself into a predicament, and I'm going to read you a problem here now, and then we're going to go over this conflict resolution and see how we could maybe fix this problem up. Okay, so this is a scenario that's going to happen here. A second grade child comes to school and uses a pretty bad word in front of several students and the teacher. He acts a little embarrassed, but not, you know, kind of flippant about it, actually. And he went and told the teacher then, well, the night before he saw it on the computer, and he was sitting by his dad, and they were looking at something, and that word came up. And, but, you know, it was on the computer. Well, the teacher's really horrified by that, of course, and because it was in front of other children, too. And so she kept the child after school, because it was at the end of the day, and said, well, you know, that's a really bad word to say. You need to write lines for it that, you know, I'm not going to say that word again, and made him understand that. Well, pretty soon the mom comes in and says, you know, what is going on here? And so the teacher explains it, and she says, well, he doesn't know what that word means at all, and he doesn't need a punishment for that. This is pretty inflammatory, isn't it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? So, let's go here to number one here, clarification. So we have a conflict here, a really bad one actually, because the teacher feels undermined by her authority. The mom feels probably that way too, because she didn't know what was happening. She's embarrassed, probably, I'm sure, as we would all be. But obviously that's a bad problem, because what are you going to do with that? Just say, well, you can go. The child, you can go. So if we would go to number one here, clarification, you could ask open-ended questions or restate content and ask other party for more explanation. Just sit there, Faith. Welcome. Okay, so I'm going to ask you for a little help here. So what if I'm going to say, the teachers are on this side and the parents are on this side. So if we were going to do number one here as clarification, what could the teacher say to the mom at this point to clarify? Could you think of a question they could ask?
Okay, I don't know if it's a good question or not, but would you have wanted me to just leave it? And that's kind of challenging.
Yeah, okay. Would you have wanted me to leave it? Okay. So that would be kind of an open-ended question, right? So as a mom, what would you say over here to kind of an open-ended question maybe, or clarify that? Maybe what could be something to say? We have some parents here. Faith, yes.
Ideally, you should say thank you, Smith, because I'm horrified too. That would be ideal. But often, we're not. Right, we go, well, you could have told him it was wrong, but you didn't have to punish him for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's kind of what she said. That's what the mom said. He didn't know it was wrong. Yeah, right. But a better way as a mom would be to say, thank you for telling him that. And we don't want it.
Sorry, and right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are just to kind of get your head thinking that you don't have to be stuck in this terrible situation. There's ways to work yourself out of it. Okay, so number two, active listening. When that mom walks in the door and you know it's been a problem, I think it's really important that this part about appropriate eye contact with appropriate body language demonstrating respect and attention. No matter who it is, if it's a human being, they deserve attention and respect. I mean, you just make that your goal as a parent and as a teacher, and I think that goes a really long way. So I think a good thing at that point would have been maybe for the teacher to listen to the mom and the mom to listen to the teacher more. Okay, number three is to reframe some things. So to neutralize the language if previously negative, condemning, or offensive. So if you came, sometimes we say it wrong. The mom comes in, she's tired of waiting outside in the driveway, and she's upset. What are you doing? Like, I've done that. I am sorry to say I have. And then I think it's important to reframe it, like, you know, we need to talk, what's going on, tell me some more. The teacher, on the other hand, probably should reframe too. She's probably frustrated because having to keep this child, what am I going to do with this whole situation? And the teacher maybe has to say, okay, let's just stop, go back over this and talk about it some more. Instead of always going, yes, but he said, you can say something like, well, I understand that you don't think that he thinks this is a bad word, but it is a bad word. So let's work on that. I mean, we would both agree it's a bad word. So number four is empathizing, which is something that a skill that includes use of reflecting back to the speaker his observations and words and acknowledging them. So if you run into a problem, you can, so let's just say the mom here and I'm the teacher, I can make her feel like I understand that it maybe he didn't know it was a bad word. Maybe he didn't. So let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. And then the fifth one is yet just summarizing. Well, about number four, Trevor always says, well, so what you are trying to tell me is. So we could learn from him a little bit. So, and number five is summarizing, is, and this goes in that place too. So restate the major ideas and feelings, itemizing points of agreement, and what is required to move the situation forward. I think that's so key, is keep going ahead. Don't just muddle on and on about the word. Like, make a plan forward. So you could maybe say, okay, Mom, so what would resolve this situation? I feel like, you know, Junior should have a punishment, and because it was done in school, and kind of work together on that. I think it can be done. I really do. And focus on what the other party, like what it says here, is you should say, please open the door, instead of saying, don't close the door. Now maybe that's kind of quibbling about things, but it is what's negative versus positive, like what comes out of your mouth. So. And I really like this bottom quote here, avoid belaboring how conflict arose. So instead of just focusing on how this happened and what happened, how it happened, focus on resolution. What can be done? How can you avoid it again? And try not to get upset or take it personal. I think that too many times as a parent and as a teacher, we take it personal. Like, this is about me. Not really. It's about the whole thing, the whole picture. So, any more thoughts on that or comments? And I wanted to acknowledge my sister Charity right here. She's getting her bachelor's in RN, and she was studying about conflict resolution. And so I got some of these things from her, what she was studying. So just to give recognition there, thank you, Charity. But did you have anything you would want to add to that, Charity?
I just think it's huge. Maybe it sounds like minimal to say, please open the door instead of don't close the door. But I just found it so huge, just the way you frame your sentences and the words you use can make a complete difference in how the situation is. And that's even with dealing with patients in the hospital, with family, the angry family members, it can be anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it surrounds us. Conflict is with us to stay. And so we need to learn how to deal with it. And then so back to discipline dilemmas maybe. So when we run into those, if we can think about some of these, how to resolve it instead of just focusing on it, I think we will get further then.
The other thing I might add, yes. if you are prepared with tools before the conflict happens, you have a much better success of actually saying the words you want. Like, if you thought this through and thought, okay, if this happens, these are the words I want to use, instead of what would naturally come out, that helps a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very good. Like, so teachers, if you're kind of young and are worried about this first year, if you get some thoughts in your head, like, think about what are you going to do when your little student I don't know, does whatever. And then think about that a little bit and be more prepared maybe for that and think about your behavior, your disciplines. Okay, I have one more little thing here I thought, this is just a little side note. I didn't know where to work this in, but if you have a parent and a teacher somewhere and you are having trouble, a mediator is a really good choice too. If you can't seem to, like it's just kind of hard, then a school board member or somebody, they're there to help. Just ask for some help and be humble. Be humble about it. It's really important not to have kind of a just, you know, well, this is how it is and I'm not backing up. Okay, so another conflict we have here now is the teacher has long been planning to go sledding as a special event on a Friday afternoon. Instead of art, by the way. Sledding can be art. Levi, a seventh grader, comes to school and says that he was bad at home, and as a punishment, his mom said he can't go along on the sledding expedition. Now, what are you going to do now? Teachers over here, what are you going to do?
Call the mom.
Call the mom, I think. Okay, would you just not go? Would you go without him? So you would call the mom, okay. But what's the mom going to say? That's what would you say, Phoebe? Would you do that to a child? Punish them like that? I guess you do more homeschooling. Do you have any other parents? Sue, would you do that? No. So we can't ask her.
Say that, yes. Then she should probably go get him and take him home.
And take the, not have sent him to school, maybe.
No, but when you go sledding, she could go bring the child home.
Oh, bring the child home. But what about as a teacher? Would you go ahead? You would just go. Mm-hmm. Not
send all the other children that are not needing to be punished.
Yeah, right. They could just go sledding.
But what if you love Levi and you can't bear that he can't go along sledding? Yeah. Okay. Well.
Pretty weepy and persuasive with the
character. You were.
Coffee and tea.
Oh. Yeah, I can imagine it. Oh, see that? Maybe you could do that. Well, I do too. I would not punish my child like that. But, I mean, this happened, actually. So. Oh, right. Yeah, that's true. Right. I would feel that way. Like, you can't do that. It's kind of
putting the
teacher off
the hard place.
It's, yeah.
Because I would feel like, to just not go, I'd kind of go against her wishes, you know.
The mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Joel, would you go ahead and go on that situation?
Yeah, probably.
You would. Hope to take the child along somehow. Well, I mean, these things come up. They're hard situations. There's not easy answers.
Call dad.
Oh, call the dad. That's a good one. Okay, guys, we have an answer to this one. Call the dad. Oh, that's good.
Oh.
Yes, I do too, actually. And the teacher has to be pretty out of place before I think we should get involved as a parent. Are there any questions otherwise that you would like to talk about? I feel like there would have been a lot of ways to go with this discipline dilemma. Yes, Martha.
One more thing about the sledding thing. I heard my mom say, you know, I'm not going to do this because I said. And it's the thing of, if you say something, even if you made a mistake in saying it, I think sometimes we just need to carry through with it because we said it, and the child
is going to watch how you keep your word.
Oh, yeah. So maybe you're saying that the mom said she was going to do that, so she should keep going on that track to not make the child think that they could get by with it or something?
Well, I probably would just keep my word just because it said it.
Out of principle?
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, try not to do it again. Well, that brings up a point, though, and it's maybe as I get older I think of this more, but sometimes it's really powerful to our students and our children to say, you know what, I was wrong. That was not a good call to make. And I'm going to say you can go sledding, but when you get home, maybe the shingle will come off. No, I mean, you can check. But I know, you have a good point, though. I think it's important that we aren't just always changing our word either. And so I do think that, too. But sometimes I've made kind of bad calls, like just like that. I don't think about it enough. And then I have to sometimes go back and say, I don't think that was the best way to do it. Let's start over and do it differently. And I don't think that takes away respect always. Now, it can, I think, but...
One thing I'm trying to learn is not to say, if you do this bad, this is going to happen. So you have to be really careful what you say is going to happen.
Yeah.
You might want to leave it open-ended.
Yeah, so you can decide last minute then what would actually... That's right. Yeah, and I think that's where it comes into at that point. You can just say, well, I said that, but that wasn't the right thing for the time. So, I mean, I don't think we, as an authority, I think we need to remember we are humble servants. That's what we are. We are not, Faith and I here go far back, and her dad preached Trevor and my our wedding sermon, and that's one thing he said in there that we still talk about. Trevor, would you say it for me?
We have the only authority we have really is God's authority in our life. And so the only authority we can exercise over others is as we submit ourselves to God's authority.
Right. So as
it's really, really important to find ourselves inside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting, if you really take that problem apart, the teacher said she was going to take them sledding in all good faith. And so now one or the other is going to have to break their word. It's not an option. The mom either has to break her or the teacher does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually pretty important that at some level you can come to an agreement. Well, maybe you have to sweat on Saturday, or maybe there's some kind of compromise that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But for both people's sake, the matter needs to be addressed.
Right. Thank you. He often mentions about what your dad said. Well, I think we're just about out of time here, but just in conclusion here, I think that we should remember that discipline is a way of life. It is not a certain instant. And dilemmas should be looked at as a problem that can be solved in a positive way for all parties. That's the whole message of the Bible, is that there is redemption in everything. There aren't a whole bunch of problems over here that can't be resolved and can't be redeemed. I think there is hope always, redemption. But we need to be humble, we need to be kind, and we need to ask God for help always. And just understand that the way you're looking at a dilemma is only one side and one perspective. Always think about that there's a different side. So I would just want to bless you all as you go out and teach children and train them and help them. You may go in peace.